it goes on telling the story. The heavens never cease to tell the story. Look at this. Man can become intimidated. You can be on your job, and I know we're not supposed to be witnessing on the job and things like that. I understand that. But you can be on your job and get a little intimidated by some of the folk around you and not stand for God and not speak for God. Preachers can get discouraged and stop preaching for God. Christians can backslide and stop praising God. But I'm going to tell you this. The heavens go on saying, I love to tell the story will be my thing. And go on.
Welcome to Anchored in Jesus, the teaching ministry of Dr. William R. Glaze, founder of the Pittsburgh Institute of Biblical Studies, author, and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. This is Sonia Hall thanking you for joining us today as we continue in Psalms with the first half of a revelation that requires an examination from Psalm chapter 19. So if you have your Bible, please open it to Psalm chapter 19, and let's join Dr. Glaze for the first half of a revelation that requires an examination.
For some reason, I woke up this morning. I don't know why, but I woke up this morning with Psalm 19 on my heart. So that's where we'll go today, Psalm 19. And we'll see if Dr. Forbes is available next week, because I want to hear that message that he has. Psalm 19, beginning in verse 1. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. Day unto day uttereth speech, and night unto night showeth knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. Their line is gone out through all the earth, and their words to the ends of the world. In them he hath set a tabernacle for the sun, which is like a bridegroom coming out of his chamber, and rejoices like a strong man to run a race. His going forth is from the end of the heaven, and his circuit unto the ends of it, and there is nothing hidden from the heat thereof. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The ordinances of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold, sweeter also than the honey and the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is thy servant warned, and in keeping of them there is great reward. Who can understand his errors? Cleanse thou me from secret faults. Keep back thy servant also from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me. Then shall I be upright, and I shall be innocent from the great transgression. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Amen. As the psalmist meditated on the heavens, and as the psalmist meditated on the word of God, the psalmist began to do an internal investigation. And so I want to speak to you on this subject today. A revelation that requires an examination. A revelation that requires an examination. Amen. There was a Swedish pastor by the name of Carl Boberg, and he was visiting the country on one occasion. And as he was driving through the country, all of a sudden, he got caught in a violent thunderstorm. I mean, it was lightning, it was cracking, pretty much like the couple of storms we've had the past couple of days. The lightning was cracking, and the clouds just opened up and just poured the heavens down to the ground. And after the storm was over and the clouds cleared, there was a bright sun. And there was also the sound in the background of birds singing. As Boberg meditated on this storm that he had just been through, or the sun that was now radiant in the sky, on the birds singing, it caused him to do an examination. And when he did an examination, he penned the thoughts that inspired this song. O Lord my God, when I in awesome wonder consider all the worlds thy hands have made. I see the stars. I hear the rolling thunder. Thy power throughout the universe displayed. That's the revelation. That's the revelation. What is the examination? Then sings my soul, my Savior God to thee. How great thou art. How great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God to thee. How great thou art. How great thou art. A revelation that requires an examination. The psalmist said, the heavens declare the glory of God. And as the psalmist looked at the heavens, he said, let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in thy sight. I got up this morning with Psalm 19 on my mind for some reason or other. And I went out and I sat on my front porch. And as I sat out there, it was a nice cool morning. The breeze was blowing. Oh, man, it felt good. Just the little breeze that was blowing across my porch. I looked up and saw the trees and how the trees were just moving kind of gently back and forth. And then all of a sudden, man, I heard the birds chirping and in the background there was a sound of, I guess it's what you call a whippoorwill. Whippoorwoo, whippoorwoo. And I said, man, God, you have just allowed me to come and experience your creation. God woke me up and let me come out onto my porch this morning, and I had a song that I didn't have to turn my radio on. I didn't have to turn my stereo on. The trees were blowing back and forth. The birds were singing. Oh, man, it was a beautiful sight. Just to be able to hear God's song. Oh, it was a beautiful song. It was a beautiful song, a song of nature. And then just about the time that I had got, just about the time I had got filled up and said, God, I'm just overwhelmed with your creation, about 6 geese flew right over my house. Fool, man. And it was like God was just saying, here I am. Man, it was beautiful. It was so beautiful. And it just caused me to begin to reflect and say, God, look at Psalm 8. Look at Psalm 8 real quick. Psalm 8. Verse 3, he said, when I consider thy heavens, the work of thy fingers, the moon and the stars which thou hast ordained. Look what he says. What is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou visitest him? Man, when I meditate on God's creation, and I begin to do an inward meditation, I have to ask myself, Bill Glaze, who in the world do you think you are? Who are you? You are just a little puny, finite man. And thank God that I serve a God who is all-knowing, who is all-powerful, and that he touches us to be able to do his will and to do his service. What is man? What is man? A revelation that requires an examination. If you just want to go outside. Get up early one morning. Go outside in the summertime, just like I did today. Man, you and examine God's creature, just creation. Just get up and walk around and maybe look at the ants crawling on the ground. Look at the little squirrels and the chipmunks running through the trees. Look at the birds singing. Look at the wind gently blowing. Look at the clouds as they move through the sky. Man, look at the revelation of God. And it'll cause you to do some serious introspection. It will cause you to do some serious meditation. When you think of this vast universe and you think of our little puny beings, in light of all that, who are we? Who are we? The psalmist said, and we see two things here. We see God revealed. God revealed himself in Psalm 19. That first of all, God revealed himself in nature. And then God revealed himself in the word. And so as the psalmist reflects upon God's revelation in nature, and upon God's revelation in the word, than the psalmist has to look at himself. The first thing he reflects upon is God's revelation in nature. He says, and this is what I call the proclamation of the revelation. Look at Psalm 19 and verse 1. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. The proclamation of this revelation. Now, Psalm 19, and let me say this, do a little teaching here. Psalm 19 is a perfect example of what we call Hebrew poetry. Now, Hebrew poetry is not like English poetry. Your English poetry, hickory dickory dock. The mouse ran up the clock struck one, the mouse ran down, hickory dickory dock. You know, Hebrew poetry is not like that. The beauty of Hebrew poetry is parallelism. And it's actually a parallelism of thought, that the psalmist will write a verse and he will express a thought, and then he will write the second part of that verse and express the same thought in different words. And that's Hebrew poetry, parallelism. Look, here's a perfect example. Look, the heavens, all right? And look at the next part of verse, the firmament. So we see the parallel right there. The heavens and the firmament. And then look what he says. Declare and showeth. Declare and showeth. And then the third part, the glory of God and his handiwork. And so the psalm pretty much goes through most of the psalm like that, with the psalmist using Hebrew poetry to describe the revelation of God in nature and the revelation of God in his word. Now, look here. He says, the heavens declare the glory of God. What are the heavens? Well, the heavens are the great expanse of the universe. It's the not only the sky in which we can see, but it's the planets in which our solar system is involved in, and also the universe in which we live. The heavens, this vast expanse, all declare the glory of God. You know, somebody said that to get to the sun, it would take 500 light seconds. To get to the sun. And we know that light travels at 186,000 miles an hour. And so we can imagine how far the sun is away. And as we move out, what man has discovered in the outer regions of the earth, it takes light years to get there. We could never get there in 50 million lifetimes. That's how expansive and how broad the universe is. And what did the Bible say? The psalmist said, the heavens declare the glory of God. Yeah, you know, I was reading something. Let me share this with you. The heavens declare the glory of God. Meditate on that thought while I share this with you. The earth is positioned at just the right distance from the sun so that we receive exactly the proper amount of heat to support life. The other planets of our solar system are either too close, too hot, to the sun, or else too far, too cold to sustain life. Planets too far, a frozen tundra. Planets too close, are heat and overheated. The heavens declare the glory of God. How can you look at that and not see that there's a God who has positioned a planet from the sun, just the right amount to get the proper sun, but not too far where it would freeze? The heavens declare the glory of God. Any change, any appreciable change in the rate of rotation of the earth would make life impossible. For example, if the earth were to rotate 1/10 its present rate, all planet life would either be burned to a crisp or frozen at night. The heavens declare the glory of God. The moon revolves around the sun at a distance of about 240,000 miles, causing harmless tides on the earth. If the moon was located 1/5 of the distance from the way, the continent would be completely submerged in water twice a day. The heavens declare the glory of God. The earth axis is rotated 23.5 degrees. This tilting, combined with the Earth's revolution around the sun, causes our seasons, which would which are absolutely essential for the raising of food supply. The heavens declare the glory of God. Listen to this. The Earth's atmosphere, the ozone layer, serves as a protective shield from lethal solar ultraviolet radiation, which would otherwise destroy all life. That's why there's such a big thing about the ozone layer being destroyed. The heavens declare the glory of God. The Earth's atmosphere also serves to protect the Earth from approximately, and I didn't know this, 20 million meters that would enter it each day at speeds of about 30 miles per second. With this crucial protection, the danger of life would be immense. All these meteors just coming to the Earth every day, but God protects it. And then finally, two primary constituents of the Earth's atmosphere are nitrogen, 78%, and oxygen, 20%. This delicate combination is critical, is a critical ratio to all life forms. Man, the heavens declare the glory of God. When you look at the heavens, you know, people come to two conclusions when they look at the heavens. They come to two conclusions, and it's not the conclusion that we as Christians come to. But some folk look at it and say it got there by, I know I'm going to get in trouble here with somebody, but that's all right. It got there by a big bang. So they don't see a God at all. Another group will look at the heavens and say, let's worship the stars. Let's pull out the dream book. What number is that? So some would deny the creation of God, and some would worship the creation rather than the creator. The heavens declare the glory of God. You should be able to get out and go look in the sky or look around you and see all of God's creation and, man, just glorify God. As a matter of fact, the word declare here means that they write a story. The heavens write a story about God, how that God created something out of nothing. Man needs something in place to create something. God needs absolutely nothing to create. God can create it. As a matter of fact, Hebrews 11 says that he spoke the world into existence. Now, we got to be careful because some people believe that we got that same power to be able to speak things into existence. God spoke. We can't speak it like God. We can't speak it like God. God spoke paper where there was no paper. God spoke metal where there was no metal. God is able, and the heavens tell the story. As a matter of fact, the scripture really, this is a participle. And for those of you who are English scholars, you know that a participle is continuous action in the present time. Yeah. Continuous action in the present time. And so what does it say? The heavens go on telling the story. Every day, it goes on telling the story. The heavens never cease to tell the story. Look at this. Man can become intimidated. You can be on your job, and I know we're not supposed to be witnessing on the job and things like that. I understand that. But you can be on your job and get a little intimidated by some of the folk around you and not stand for God and not speak for God. Preachers can get discouraged and stop preaching for God. Christians can backslide and stop praising God. But I'm gonna tell you this, the heavens go on saying, I love to tell the story, will be my thing in glory. The heavens don't stop. You might stop, you might get intimidated, you might get quiet, you might be muzzled. Oh man, but the heavens go on telling the story. The heavens don't stop telling the story. Charles Spurgeon said, he who looks up at the firmament and writes himself down as an atheist brands himself at that moment a liar or an idiot. You can't look at the sky and not see the beauty and not see the creation of God. Now, you know, people say, well, you Christians, the only way that you can prove that the Bible is, I mean, that God exists is because you got the Bible and you can look at the Bible and say that there's a God. Well, let me tell you this. I don't need a Bible. I mean, the Bible just supports and confirms what I already believe. I don't need the Bible. Because, you see, I realize two things. Number one, I realize the cosmological argument, Brother Carl, which basically says that everything has a creator. And I realize that nothing got here because by accident, that everything has a creator. And Brother Carl also realized the teleological argument, which basically says because there is order in the universe, that means that an intelligent mind is behind that order, that if I stack this Bible on the piano, and I put this songbook on the piano, and I put this other songbook on the piano, it didn't get there by accident. It got there because Pastor Glaze, an intelligent mind, put it there. So when I look at all this, when I look at all this creation, I look at all the expanse, I gotta be a fool to say that this just happened by chance. Somebody said that the chances of molecules bumping together and forming life and all of a sudden us having all that we have is about the same chance as having an explosion in a paper factory and having the unabridged dictionary in order put together. You got a better chance of that happening than evolution. You see, the heavens declare the glory of God. The proclamation of the revelation, and then look at this, the continuation of the revelation. The continuation of the revelation. Look at verse 2. Day unto day uttereth speech. Look at, here we got the parallelism again, see that? Day unto day, night unto night, uttereth, showeth, speech, and knowledge. Day unto day uttereth speech, and night unto night showeth knowledge. In other words, where the day leaves off, the night picks up. You know, I don't watch it too much, but every now and then I get a little, no offense to anybody in here, but you know, I get a little unfocused. And I watch wrestling. Every now and then, it's not on a regular basis now. I just want to let you know that. It's not on a regular basis. Every now and then. And the guys will be in there wrestling, and then they'll be doing this tag team thing. And then the other guy will come in and slap his hand, and he'll come in and wrestle, and the other guy will get out. Well, I believe that's what's happening here, tag team. During the day, the sun and the light, praise God. They just praise God. You can go out and look up in the sky and see light and see sun. It's praising God. There's a God. It's telling the story. It's telling the story. But look, my shift is almost up. It's almost time for me to call it a day. Hold up, I can't go anywhere because night got to come. Oh, here comes my replacement. Here comes my replacement. Nighttime, yeah, tag team, day unto day uttereth speech, and night unto night showeth knowledge. It never stops, but there's always a witness, there's always a testimony that keeps going on for the Lord. God's testimony goes on and on. And I like what it says here. It uses two words, uttereth, and the word uttereth means to pour out like a gushing stream.
Thank you for joining us today on Anchored in Jesus. Tune in next time for the conclusion of a revelation that requires an examination from Psalm chapter 19. If you would like to request an audio copy of today's message, a revelation that requires an examination, you can contact us at anchoredinjesus.org and request a revelation that requires an examination. That's anchoredinjesus.org and request a revelation that requires an examination. Or call us at 877-831-5060. When you visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, you can view many of the other teachings by Dr. Glaze. Dr. Glaze is the author of 8 books. For more information about these resources and how to order, visit anchoredinjesus.org or call 877-831-5060. We also invite you to like us on Facebook at Anchored in Jesus Ministries. If you would like to make a financial contribution, please visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, or send it to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. Once again, that website is anchoredinjesus.org, or you can send your financial contribution to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. It's through your prayers and gifts that we remain on the air. Our title, Anchored in Jesus, comes from Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, which lets us know that Jesus is our high priest and an anchor for the soul. Now for Dr. Glaze and our volunteer staff, I'm your host, Sonia Hall, reminding you, you don't have to be tossed in the storms of life. Your soul can be anchored in the Lord.